There are so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. I read here in the last few weeks some stories on a criminal mindset. You think, what in the world would a preacher be reading that story for? I'm trying to understand Baptist people. And so I have read some books written on the criminal mindset, and it has helped me understand some of you much better than I ever understood anything before. But as I read through there, I began to see resurfacing comparisons that can be made among some of our nation's most notorious of criminals, particularly murderers and things of that nature. And very often you catch a phrase about voices. I heard voices. I was awakened at night and I heard voices. Sometimes there is a desire to convince people that those voices were audible, that they were not voices in my head, but actually someone was in the closet or someone was under the bed and they were actually speaking to me. They were so real to these individuals. I read a bit about the son of Sam who terrorized the New York city and suburbs years ago as he brought an end of life to a number of people, and he always professed that he heard voices telling him to do what he was doing. And I would say to you, that is not an isolated case. There are numbers of criminals who have committed some heinous crimes, and each of them, as a justification, would say, I heard these voices talking to me. Now, you and I would say, they're crazy. But truth of the matter is, you hear voices in your mind all the time. There are a number of voices in this world. May I say to you, I believe that the breakdown in a criminal mind comes when he loses track of who he should listen to, when he hears all of those voices. Paul said, there are so many voices in this world. May I say to you, very oftentimes you can conclude the end of a day having listened to the radio and read the newspaper and talked to this group and listened to that group. You can conclude the day completely confused because of so many voices that you've heard. I have warned against listening to conservative radio and liberal radio. You say, well, I think they're all liars. I think that all they can achieve is getting you confused and distanced from what the real problems are. I have to be careful what I listen to myself. If I begin to listen to a broadcast or a news station, or if I read a newspaper at certain times, I'll be honest with you, I get angry, I get upset, and it taints my existence. I have learned that there are a lot of voices that can be heard in this world. And all of them have a goal. People do not just rattle on and on and on and on. How many of you remember the days when the news was simply the news? They didn't tell you, and here's what we think, and we called in these 19 experts, and the majority of people that we talked to say this. They're not trying to convince you of their issue. They simply said, John died last night. I can remember as a boy growing up and spending summers at my grandmother's house. I probably told this story to you know my upbringing better than I do. But I can remember my grandparents were up pretty much every morning by 5:30. And they had an old electric radio, the kind that you had to tune, no push buttons, anything like that. And they waited. They had the respect for people that were still sleeping. So even though they were up at 5:30, they did not turn the radio on until 6. But at 6 o'clock, you could hear the whee as they tuned in the old radio. And they used to always tune it in because they got the news. And may I tell you, laying in bed every morning as a boy, I knew pretty much everybody in the county that had died. I knew when their services were going to be. I knew what church they had gone to. I mean, that's all the news was. And now the whole idea is to form an opinion and to change your mind and to sway you in our direction or in this direction and to convince you that we're right or they're wrong. All of that stuff, and all of it has significance. It's all purposeful. But there are some voices in life we have neglected while we have hearkened unto other voices. And this morning I'd like to deal with four of those voices you'd better understand the significance of. I have found over the course of my life that no matter what you listen to as far as the news is concerned, if you wait till tomorrow, it will change. When liars give you the news and when liars make the news, that's what you can deal with. They'll tell you today the sky is falling, and tomorrow they'll tell you, oh no, the sky is not falling, it is good. If you've ever read Orwell's book, 1984, or I should say, not that one, I've read that one too, but Animal Farm. Animal Farm is a hilarious book because they made the truth up as they went along. And I find myself every once in a while, sometimes in public, I must be a bizarre figure, and I'll be listening to some commentator on the news, and I'm thinking George Orwell. I'm thinking this is the pig, as he's making up the news as it goes along. And I understand that because I heard him yesterday and the news was completely different. He was telling us this the other day. And so on and on it goes. But there are some voices that have great significance. All of them have an agenda. All of them have a purpose. And that's the reason we talk. When you talk to me, you have an agenda. When I talk to you, I have an agenda. I have an agenda this morning. But the truth of the matter is, I need to have discernment to say that that voice is not one I should listen to. And that voice is a voice I should hearken to. If I get those borders confused, I stand to destroy my life. May I tell you what I have come to the conclusion concerning Son of Sam and others like him? I think the Son of Sam was a man just like any man sitting in this auditorium. And he simply got confused. And he listened to the wrong voices. Oh, you say, I never hear those voices. Don't tell me that. Somebody pulls out in front of you at a light. I know what voices you hear. I've seen you shaking your fist. I've seen some of you giving that salute. I know what is in your heart. And I know at that moment there are voices that you're hearing and listening to. Every one of us has been tempted to do bodily harm, although we may never have done it. We've had some people we would like to have straightened out, one blow at a time. You say, where'd that come from? There are voices. There are voices everywhere. I have mentioned to you before, I have never been illegal, but I have walked into banks before at which the door was open to the vault. And I have heard voices. Amen? Anybody ever hear those voices? They're there, I'm telling you. You see somebody do something stupid, you know, and they leave their wallet on the counter. I think of myself as an honest man, but I still hear those voices. I have just made a discernment that that's not a voice I'm going to listen to. And at the same time, I have determined in my life there are some voices I am going to allow to dominate my thinking. I am going to listen to these voices. I'm going to pay attention to these voices. Sometimes so I am aware of what's going on in this world. Sometimes so I'm aware of what's going on here. Sometimes so I'm aware of what's going on there. I need to know information in order to live my life. But if I get my information from everybody that comes down the road, I say again, I end my day thoroughly confused. And I don't want to be confused in this world. I want to have that certainty that the Apostle Paul said that he lived his life serving God. He said, I don't beat the air as a boxer with no opponent. I'm not just thrashing here and there. There's a purpose to my life. I know whom I've believed, he said. I'm confident of this very thing. Paul said, there's some things in my walk with the Lord I know. I know that I know that I know that I know. I'm not swayed. I'm not tossed about with every wind of doctrine. Why? Because I know what voices to listen to. And I know what voices not to listen to. May I say to you this morning, in the world in which we live, there is the voice of depraved ambitions. It is all around us, but it is not only around us, it is within us. The voice of depraved ambitions. No one this morning, I've lived long enough to realize this, we're all pretty much the same. We like to talk about, well, I'm not like them, and yet at the same time, we really are. We are all pretty much cast out of the same mold. We are, at our best, vile sinners. As a matter of fact, before we can have any relationship with God at all, we have to admit that fact. God will not deal with us when we are professing to be something that we are not. We must come to Him, first of all, in honesty. And in honesty this morning, I'm a mess when it comes to those depraved ambitions. I mentioned a moment ago the car that pulls out in front of you and everybody laughed. You know why? Because I got your number. We're all the same. If you were to slam your thumb in the car door this afternoon when you went out to leave church, you might not open this gate and let those things come out, but I promise you those voices will be saying some things in your mind. Somebody said they turned the air blue. You heard somebody say that? Listen, sometimes we may not let it out, but it's there nonetheless. Don't sit there and look at me pious as though, not me, not me. I'll slam your thumb in the car door intentionally. I realize there's not a whole lot of difference between any of us here this morning. The best among us this morning is unworthy of God's attention because we are an absolute disaster. I had somebody years ago, I've always commented on it because I didn't intend to do this, but I just, something about me, you know, I'm just that way. And they were talking about being a loving person and gracious and kind, and that's what the world needed more of. And you know, we just needed to be loving and overlooking. And what they were talking about was not them overlooking me, but me overlooking them. You don't know you'd be real loving when you're trying to get somebody to overlook your faults. And I listened, and I listened, and I listened. And I mean, they just spread the honey on a little thick. And I'm not a honey kind of guy. And so I just kind of changed the conversation just the slightest little bit and quoted, I think, two verses of Scripture. And in 4 minutes, this person erupted like Mount Vesuvius. Boom! That's what's wrong with you Christians. You're always causing division in the world and you're always sowing that. And I thought, what happened to the love, lady? I'm not feeling the love here I was sensing a moment ago. You know what I realized? You may profess to be, you may look like it, you may have everybody else fooled, but there's some of us you're not going to fool because we know ourselves all too well. And nobody in this building this morning, I couldn't tick off in about 20 seconds. And I'm not standing here with a halo on my head because a lot of times I come here ticked off. I am just like you are. You say, what does that mean? I mean that in me there are voices of depraved ambition. There are voices in me that says, you know what, you ought to do this when I know I shouldn't. There are voices that say you should react this way. That person needs a piece of your mind. Do you ever want to give somebody a piece of your mind? You know, it's that voice inside there. There are other voices that say, no, that's not what you should do. You see, there's all those voices in there that try to prompt me. We've always had the little analogy of the little angel, you know, with a halo on this side and the little angel with a pitchfork on the other. And that's all imaginary. But I'm going to tell you what, the voices are there. The voices are there. I am an individual with depraved ambitions. May I say to you, there's not a man in this building this morning that doesn't think along the same lines. Oh, it gets quiet. I understand. Listen, there's not a man in this building tonight, this morning, that's not capable of just dismembering somebody. You say, how? Because we're just animalistic, depraved human beings on our best day. We're all governed at times by greed. By greed. I've watched and I understand everybody's upset with the CEOs taking the mega millions of dollars. But may I say to you, you've never heard one person complain that wouldn't have traded places with them in a minute. Oh, awful people just all destroying our country. Bad guy, bad, bad. Want to shoot them. Oh, I wish I was one. I wish somebody had given me a $140 million bonus last year. Don't fool me. It won't work. We're all at times governed by that voice of greed in our head. I want this. I need this. That voice of lust. That voice of lust that says I have to have this thing. That voice of jealousy. That voice of envy. That voice of hatred. It's all resident within us. And at times we hear loud and clearly those voices that tend to provoke us to carry out their wish and their will in our life. The amazing thing is every Christian that's ever lost their testimony is no different from every inmate that's in the penitentiary. And it is simply a matter of you lost your testimony as a Christian because you listened to some of those voices and did something you shouldn't have done, and that's the reason a criminal's in jail. What is it? It's that voice that provokes me, that stirs me, that says you can get away with it, that nobody will know, no one will ever find out. You can cover it up. No one will see. They'll understand. You've got the words down right. You'll fool them all. All of those voices continually at work in the human being to destroy us. It is that voice of depraved ambitions. Ladies, they're there in you as well. Gentlemen, they're there in you and well as well. Young men, young ladies, boys and girls, teenagers, they're within all of us. And those voices at times drown out everything else in our life if we're not careful. I have on several occasions counseled people, and at the end of the counseling session, the end conversation amounted to something like this: I want what I want, and I'll do what I want to do. I don't care what you say. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what God says. I'm going to listen to what? To a voice in my head. A voice in my head that says, I want it. I deserve it. I should have it. It's not fair. And I'm going to get what I want. And all at once, they destroy their lives. Why? Those voices. Those voices. May I say to you, not only is there the voice of a depraved ambition from within, but there's the voice of an impudent society from without. They feed off of each other. I have grown up since a boy in church. I learned to read this book right here. That's how I learned to read. I had an old-fashioned mother who went to the sixth grade. She didn't have the privilege of a college education. As a matter of fact, she didn't even make it beyond the sixth grade. She grew up a poor sharecropper's farmer down in the hills of Tennessee. And when she got married, she knew she wanted her boy to do better than she did. She wanted him to learn to read before he got to kindergarten. So when I was scarcely four, we sat down and she opened her Bible and we began to read. I won awards all through school for my ability to read because Mama taught me to read this book. But as a result of it, I have listened and watched the society change over the years. Many times for the good. Sometimes we don't say that. I'm glad society has changed. Amen? Aren't you glad we've got a drugstore in every corner? We complain about it till we need one. Amen? We complain about these things in life, but in honesty, I'm glad that our society and our way of life has changed. I really like climate control. I really do. Amen? I really like air conditioning in a car. I like some of the changes that, if you're not careful, we come off as being the most negative people in all the world. There are some good things that have happened over the years. But morally, there are some awful things that have happened over the years. I have watched over the years, I can remember, and this is, I'm not that old. I hope you don't think I'm that old. I don't think I'm that old, but I remember starting the day in a classroom with a teacher praying. I remember having a Bible in the classroom. As a matter of fact, I remember studying the book of Job when I was in the ninth grade. It was one of our history or literature process. We studied the book of Job from the Bible. And I have watched as our society now has simply made, if you think that, you're a criminal. If you think the Bible should be in school, somehow you are the force that's going to disrupt. I've got news for you. Washington, Lincoln, Jefferson, Roosevelt, all of them were on my side. But something has changed in a nation. It has become more and more impudent when it comes to facing God. God has been pushed aside, has been pushed out. And the means, listen, the need or the desire to remove the Bible and prayer from school. May I tell you why it was motivated? It was not motivated because somehow somebody wasn't getting a fair shake. It was motivated by those that wanted God out of our minds and out of our lives. Our founding fathers may not have all been Bible-believing Christians, but they all recognized that our nation, our republic, could not exist without morality, and that morality had to come from the Bible. That goes without question, and I can give you 100 quotes from them to prove that. Somehow we have gotten away from that. We have distanced ourselves, and our nation has become more and more and more impudent in its profession of God. Get God away from the courthouse steps. Get God and His Ten Commandments off the walls. Get them away from our children. And then to have the audacity to tell a young man he shouldn't murder. Tell him why. Because you think he shouldn't? Who are you? Sit there in your robe behind your marble desktop and tell me what I should and shouldn't do with my life? How dare you have that audacity? But it's a different thing when God said so. You understand, we've taken the teeth from the lion that could control our conduct in this world. Is it any wonder that our teenagers are suffering so much with the confusion, trying to determine for themselves what is right and wrong, as they've been told over the years? Don't let those Bible thumpers tell you. Well, if the Bible thumpers don't tell you, what's the other side going to tell you? In essence, they're defining their position. It is a sad state of affairs that our young people are dealing with in this day and time. Morally bankrupt in this society if we're not careful. Oh, what a sad thing. Where does that come from? It is the collective voice of an impudent society. You know what I've learned? I've learned that when somebody speaks and nobody's there to counter them, they speak boldly and brashly. There'll be no questions after this. Right down the line. But you let somebody there to question them and watch them kowtow. You know why? Because they're not nearly as bold when they're by themselves as they are when they speak collectively. I've asked people, I suppose, for the last 5 or 6 years, if we got deep enough into the conversation and began to talk, I've asked people, can you tell me, are you really offended by the Ten Commandments being on a courthouse step as a monument? I have never yet had one person tell me that personally that offends me. Can I tell you why? It doesn't offend anybody personally. It offends the collective impudent society we live in. And together they get bold. And together they say we'll stop them. And together they say we'll put them away from us. That same crowd is addressed in Psalm chapter 2. And may I tell you what the God of heaven said to that impudent crowd? He said, when your calamity comes, when your destruction comes like a whirlwind, I that sit in the heavens will laugh at your calamity. But that voice still rings. I hear it all the time. You can go pretty much anywhere and you hear that collective voice saying, don't bring God in here. Keep Him out. Keep Him away from us. Don't mention that name in here. Don't bring that Bible in here. Don't bring that morality in here. Keep it out there where it belongs. There is the voice of the depraved ambitions from within. Very often it is augmented by the voice of an impudent society from without. Because while those same wicked voices encourage me to do those things that are not right and not good and not pure, there is a society outwardly saying, yes, go ahead, do your own thing, do what you feel is right. May I say to you, those are the friends that will forsake you when the calamity comes too. When you find yourself on trial, did you ever notice none of the rest of the drug guys are around? Huh? You ever notice none of your buddies are around that got you into trouble in the first place? You say, where'd they go? No. They're collective cowards when it comes to facing the music. They'll encourage you to do wrong, but they'll never face the music themselves. There is another voice this morning. It is the voice of the Spirit of God. I'm glad to say this morning, I believe that the voice of the Spirit of God still speaks. I'm so glad that He has not withdrawn His presence. That even in the face of an impudent society that says we want nothing of God, the Bible is passe, it is outdated, don't bring that junk into our midst, even though in the inside of individuals there is that churning, speaking voice that encourages them to do everything depraved they've ever thought of, even in the midst of that, there is the Spirit of God that still strives with mankind. He is still there. Boy, somebody said, prove to me there's a God. I can do it in a bad heart, bad conscience. Tell me how that evolves. Where did the amoeba develop a bad conscience? Somebody said, well, though that society stamps its mores on the... Listen, I got kids in there that don't even know what word more means. And when they mess in their diaper, they go over in a corner. You know why? Because they're embarrassed. Conscience, you tell me where it comes from. I'll tell you where it comes from. The Spirit of God put it in there so He can communicate with it when none of the rest of you will listen. You may have everybody else telling you it's okay from the inside. You may be able to rationalize it and say everybody else is doing it. Why shouldn't I? Everybody else is having a good time. Why shouldn't I? You may work it out so you go ahead and indulge. And as soon as you do, in the darkest and most bleak part of our nature, there arises the Spirit of God speaking to our conscience and we know what we've done is wrong. We hang our head. We find guilt when the Spirit of God speaks. That's why people don't like to come to church. Every once in a while I get a well-intentioned message, and I appreciate them. Keep those cards and letters coming. But preacher, you need to be a little kinder. You know, when you talk about people like that, they just feel uncomfortable. Amen. Amen. I've said this before, I believe with all my heart. If you ever find I go to the insane asylum, I hope when I come out I tell you I felt uncomfortable. I don't want to feel comfortable in that crowd there. I don't want to feel comfortable in this world. And somewhere along the way, I have made it through life, not because I was better, not because I was smarter, not because I was gooder, or any of a thousand other things. I made it in this life because somebody was standing behind me yelling at me. Amen. Don't do that! Don't touch that! Stay away from that! I appreciate that. I believe with all of my heart I wouldn't have made it anywhere if I hadn't had a man of God somewhere standing in the pulpit. It seemed like everywhere I went and whenever I sat under somebody preaching, they had advanced warning of what I was thinking and what I was doing. I mean, it didn't matter. I mean, they'd get up in the pulpit and they'd take that finger and they'd get that, you know, that pastoral finger goes, you know, and then boy, it'd come right to me. And I'd think, who told them? How did they know? The truth of the matter, it wasn't the man of God in the pulpit. It was the Spirit of God conveying that message to that part of my heart called the conscience. I felt guilt. I felt regret. I felt remorse. I felt humility. I felt shame. I felt embarrassment. And I felt fear. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You understand, we don't even get to that path to pursue God till we come to the end of this path. And when you make that turn from the worship of self to the seeking of God, the first step you're going to find is fear. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Listen, my buddies told me it was all right. Society told me it was all right. Go ahead and have yourself a big time. But somehow the Spirit of God conveyed to me that it was wrong. Somehow the Spirit of God conveyed to me that it was wicked. Somehow the Spirit of God conveyed to me that I was going to pay for what I had done. And there was fear. Somebody said, I don't need that in my life. Oh, yes you do. Yes you do. Listen, it is the fear of the bottle that gets the alcoholic finally delivered. It is the fear of the drugs that gets the drug addict off the drugs. It is the fear of wickedness that finally liberates the soul. I'm afraid of what it's going to do to me if I continue down this pathway. Fear is a very good, good thing. It is fear that causes me to respect a red light. Amen? You say, why? Listen, sometimes I'm in a hurry and I don't have time for a red light. Anybody ever like that? Am I the only one? There are times I don't have... If they understood what I was doing and how important my day was, they would not have put that red light there. But there it is. But I stop. You say, why? Because I am afraid of that guy with that little thing on top of his car. Man, oh man. You say, I'm not afraid of him. You drive by one, I'll watch you. Let's judge your heart rate. Do you ever notice when you drive by and you see a police officer over there, you immediately start going down a checklist? What am I doing wrong? All at once, that conscience kicks in. Those voices! There's something in me that doesn't want to do the wrong thing. Something in me that knows beyond myself there's something better. There's something in me that knows beyond me there's somebody that can help me. And I need to find them because I am ashamed of what I am and what I do. That voice keeps reminding me. It is the voice of God. I remember it well. When I was 5... You say you can't remember anything when you're 5. Boy, I can. I remember the night sitting on the front row of a church when a preacher preached Romans chapter 10, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I'd been going to that church since I was 2 weeks old. My mom and daddy were churchgoers, and we went all the time. I don't remember one sermon I ever heard till that night. But I'll never forget that one. Because he talked about God judging the sinner and Christ dying in his stead so he wouldn't have to pay the penalty. And as he listened, as a little boy in a church, I suppose, of 3,000 or 4,000 people that night, you couldn't have convinced me he preached to anybody other than me. He was speaking to me. He had come that night to preach to a 5-year-old boy. And for the first time in my life, I heard preaching like I'd never heard it before. And there was fear, and there was frustration, there was remorse. All of those things came to bear as the Spirit of God spoke through that preacher and began to carve those words in my heart. Those words that said I was guilty. Those words that said I was condemned. Not because the world had condemned me, but because I would condemn myself. It was a funny thing that the things I was excusing in my life, I would have readily condemned in anybody else. Some of you here this morning would pat yourself on the back, but if some of your neighbors got caught doing what you've done this week, you'd move. Isn't it funny how we will commend our own wickedness while condemning it in other people? But see, the Spirit of God doesn't work that way. That voice doesn't do that. That voice doesn't deal with the guy sitting next to me. That voice doesn't deal with the guy on the other side of the church. That voice doesn't even deal with my enemy. You know what that voice does? The voice of the Spirit of God only wants to talk about me. He only wants to talk about me. And I sometimes would say, "Well, yeah, but what about that guy?" He said, "We're not talking about that guy. We're talking about you." And again and again and again, he brought me back to that place where I stood guilty and condemned before God. Oh, what a voice that was. Because that night, I trusted Christ as my Savior. I know the next voice. And that's the voice of a soul set free. I know the voice of a soul set free. You say, what do you mean by that? I'm sad for people who say, "Well, I think I'm saved." Say, "Are you saved?" "Well, I hope so." "Going to heaven when you die?" "Hope so." "Well, I hope I'm going to get $1 million too. That doesn't have changed my life a whole lot, has it?" I want a no-so salvation. I want something that testifies from within, something that testifies from without, that it's real. It's real. Oh, the song said, "How well do I remember how I doubted day by day, for I did not know for certain that my sins were washed away." But oh, what a great chorus when he says, "It's real. It's real. Oh, I know it's real. Praise God. The doubts are settled. And I know it's real." I'm glad to tell you this morning there is the voice of a soul set free. It's an amazing thing. People can say, "You know, yeah, religion, you know, you really be careful about that." You know, listen. If we're all brainwashed, explain to me all these people here this morning that are brainwashed. You'd think there'd be one sane person among us. Oh, you say, just a bunch of religious fanatics. You understand we have some of the cream of the crop here this morning? We have some people that are in good standing in the community. We have some people that have done great things in our community, in our area. They're not all weirdos. Some of them are. But we're an equal opportunity church. You explain to me how this many people could be deceived. May I tell you, I've been serving the Lord as a preacher and a pastor for over 30 years, and today I am as assured of my eternal destiny as I was the day I started out. Not because somehow I've hyped myself up and worked myself up. I don't get up every morning and chant the mantra, you know, and "I'm going to heaven now, I'm going to heaven now, I'm going to heaven." It's not the idea. If you believe it long enough, you'll believe. It's not that at all. I know from within. You say, why? I remember the day when my soul was held in the chains of my own sinfulness and my own wretchedness. I remember the fear. I remember the cowering. I remember the humility of knowing what I had done. I remember having to face God in my mind and what that meant to me. And oh, what a terrible, tragic thought that was, that one day I would face God, and He who knew all that I'd ever done, all that I ever thought, who knew me better than I knew myself, was to be my judge. I knew that fear. I saw my own bondage. And I listened to the Spirit of God who said there's a way out. And now listen to me this morning. This is the voice of a soul set free. I know what Jesus Christ can do in the soul of the most vile and wretched. How He can put a song in our mouth, praise in our heart. How He lifts us up out of the miry clay, out of the pit. How He sets our feet on a rock and establishes our going. Look around you today, for not only are there those that are fine and upstanding, but those same fine and upstanding can tell you about a day when they weren't so fine, when they weren't so upstanding. They can tell you about a day when you wouldn't want to sit next to the people you're sitting next to this morning. There'd have been a day you'd have got up and said, I don't deal with that kind of person. I won't associate with that kind of person. But there you are this morning, sitting next to them, and you thought, boy, these are great Christian people. Oh, if you only knew. If you only knew. But look around you this morning. That's the voice. That's the song of a soul set free. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I'm glad I'm not what I used to be. I'm glad I'm not what I'm going to be. But I'm really glad this morning that by the grace of God, I am what I am. Say, well, I just don't know of any reason why I should put my faith and trust in Christ. I'll give you one, me. If anybody can do for me what God did for me, He's worth a try. He's worth a try. Listen to me. You got cancer? I got a doctor I can recommend to you. You say, why? Because I've had cancer. Would you listen to me? I haven't had any recurrence in 6 years. Listen, you got cancer? You want my opinion? I give you an opinion. Does my opinion mean anything? I've been there. I know what it is to go to sleep and wake up with tears in your eyes saying, oh God, I'm dying, I'm dying. I know that. I mean, the fact that I was there, doesn't that give me some credence? Let me tell you something. I was a sinner, bound by the chains of darkness and the sin of this world, and one day Jesus Christ set me free. And I'm not here trying to sell you a bill of goods this morning. I'm not here trying to make you a Baptist. Whether you come back to this church ever again doesn't matter to me at all at this moment. But what does matter to me is you can know the joy of a soul set free. You can have that voice from within that says, thank God it's gone. It's gone. I remember looking in the mirror and saying, what happened to me? What changed? I couldn't explain it. I can't explain it to this day. But I know that something changed my soul and my life. You ever hear those voices? Strange voices. Thousands of them. All of them with a goal. Some says, safe's open. Steal the money. Some says, the idiot left his wallet. Should be yours. Somebody says, if he can drive a nice car, you should be able to drive a nice car. All kind of voices. Voices that say, I'm going to give that person a piece of my mind. Somebody said, if anybody deserves a slapping, that person deserves a slapping, and you ought to be... I hear those voices. I'm not any different than you are. Paul said there are so many kinds of voices in this world. None of them without significance. They've all got a goal. They're all trying to accomplish something. Now, I've given you four this morning that, listen, you don't want to go through life without listening to those voices. You want to listen to that voice within you this morning that prods you along for everything wicked and ungodly. If somebody says, don't do it, you're drawn to it. If somebody says it's evil and wicked, you say, oh yeah, I'll show you. Listen to that voice. You say, why should I listen to it? Because that's the essence of what you are. You and I are filthy, wretched sinners, given to ourselves, doing whatever is wrong, violating whatever law for our own selfish gratification. We are our own God. You say, why should I listen to that voice? So you'll admit what you are. Listen to the voice of society out there. You say, why? Because society is encouraging you to stay away from God. Don't go. Listen, you can go to philosophy, you can go to Buddha, you can go to everybody else, but don't go near Jesus Christ. Listen, if a wicked person tells me stay away from Jesus Christ, that tells me something. Amen? That means that's the person I want to go to. Listen to that collective voice in this society. Listen this morning to the voice of the Spirit of God. You know, I could be proven to be a phony very easily. I may well be a phony this morning. But I'll tell you how to determine that. If God doesn't speak to your heart through the preaching of His Word, then everything I've said to you is a lie and you should run as far as you can get from this church house and any church house just like it. You see, I'm not here to make God or to create God. I'm here to speak on His behalf. He's big enough to prove to you He is who He says He is. He's big enough to do that. He doesn't need me. I'm not His champion here to make you. I'm not that. I'm simply here with a message from God for you. And that is this. He is there and He is watching and He does love you and He will save you if you'll give Him a chance. I can't do anything beyond that. But listen, if the Spirit of God doesn't bear witness to that in your heart, then I'm a liar. I'm a liar. So you can write it off. You put it in the newspaper. This preacher is just an absolute liar. He's in it for whatever reason. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I have to believe that God speaks to your heart when His Word is preached. That voice of the Spirit is one of those voices you hear this morning. But then may I say to you, that other voice is the voice that you need to have. And that's the voice of a soul set free. Oh, I remember that blind man over there in John chapter 9. Society was so upset that Jesus Christ had come to this blind man and had opened his eyes. And he was jumping up and down. He was looking at things. Can you imagine if you'd been blind for 38 years and all at once you could see all the vivid color and all the detail you'd never witnessed before? He's looking at his fingers. He's studying his fingernails. He's looking. He's never seen that before. He's looking. All everything is intriguing to him. And they walk up and they say, "Listen, that guy did that for you? Bad dude. Bad dude. Trying to get rid of him. We need to get rid of people like that." And he's just, "Yeah, really? Bad? Huh? Oh, yeah, bad dude. He's had a bad influence on society. Has he done this before? Yeah, he's done that a number of times. We're trying to stop him." And he's picking up dirt, looking at dirt. He got ants crawling on. He's never seen that before. This is all new to him. And it's Jesus. He's caused problems in all other cities. Yeah, really? Really? Is that what he's done? It's Jesus. That's the name, Jesus? Yeah. Well, you mean he's just blind people? No. He's healed lepers. He's unstopped deaf ears. I mean, he's even raised some dead people. Oh, you're kidding. No, bad dude. He said, "We just need you to help us out. We want you to acknowledge he's a sinner. Listen to this voice. Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, whereas once I was blind, I could see." That's an ant. Look at that. That's an ant. I've never seen one before. That's an ant. Look at my hand. Isn't that funny the way they do that? Listen to that voice of a soul set free that realizes it's passed from darkness to light, from death to life. That voice has significance. It's the voice that can help you get where you need to be if you just listen.